Welcome to the E-Commerce Fuel Podcast, your headquarters for building a six-figure plus e-commerce business. I'm your host, e-commerce entrepreneur, and Jeff Bezos wannabe, Andrew Derry. Hey guys, it's Andrew here, and welcome to the E-Commerce Fuel Podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in today. Today on the show, we're going to be talking about e-commerce and big data, advanced techniques for customizing your home and category pages based on the visitor that's coming so you can cater best to them. Specifically, talking with a guy, Josh Kaba, from over at CortexCommerce.com. Josh was someone who recently joined the forum, and he built up such a cool, unique shopping cart, something that's I've never seen available to independent, smaller merchants before, that I invited him on to come and talk about this kind of stuff today. Interesting topic. Hope you stick around for it. But first, got to do a first sale shout out. And this one's going out to Craig Stapley from pop/rockets.com. And Craig writes in, "My boys and I built a site selling water rocket launchers called Pop Rockets and got our first sale 2 weeks after launch, no pun intended. I have started other e-commerce businesses in the past, but for this one, I decided to involve my three children in all of the decision-making, from the design of the logo, to the design of the launchers, to the building of the kits, to the marketing video. So far, so good. And in my case, it was worth it just to see their excitement upon getting that first non-family sale. For me, this is more about building a business and is more about building the future of my Rugrats." So one of the coolest first sale shout outs I think that we've gotten here on the podcast. Craig, congratulations. Three boys over at Pop Rockets, didn't get your names, but how cool is that? I mean, I watched the video. Really, go check it out. Pop-rockets.com. We'll link up to it in the show notes. And really, it's the three boys on the About Us video demonstrating the product, listed as like the VP of marketing and all this stuff. So cool that they're probably not even, you know, I'm guessing, you know, under 10 or, you know, if that, and involved in an e-commerce startup and entrepreneurship in general at that age. So cool. So Craig and company, congratulations. Excited to see how you're doing. And yeah, I think we got a good future coming up for these boys. All right, let's go ahead and dive into today's discussion with Josh. Josh, thanks so much for coming on the show today. Appreciate it.
Hey, Andrew, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to talk to you.
It's so cool you joined the forum, maybe a couple, two, 3 weeks ago, at a point when I had just had a conversation with Drew Sinaki on a previous show about one of our predictions for the future of e-commerce was that we were going to see so much more personalization of a store for individuals as opposed to a one site fits all. The homepage would be dynamically updated for people, category pages, products, et cetera, et cetera. And then you join up in the community, of course, as on the Cortex Commerce team, which is defined, I mean, kind of from your homepage, Cortex Commerce, the world's first self-learning e-commerce platform that actually gets smarter over time and shows you how to market, sell, and serve your customers better. So cool. Excited to dive into that and kind of understand how that works better. But before we get into the specific features, in terms of the benefits people would see, like what type of conversion increases are you seeing from, for lack of a better term, dumb carts, like carts that just cater to everybody?
Sure.
What's the benefit? Like at the end of the day, how much more are you able to sell with this type of technology, which we're going to explain and explore further?
You know, we really built this cart around one specific client. You know, initially, that's how it got started. And what we were trying to do for them was really communicate to the customers, just like, you know, Amazon would, or, you know, some of these really big stores that are doing personalization really well, but they're also being really smart with their data. You know, and they're using advanced techniques like machine learning to really increase sales. And we built this store for them, and we used a lot of the techniques like personalized emails, personalized products, inventory tracking, and various other things like that. And I wish this number was actually lower because it would sound more believable. But we had a 600% increase in sales and a 900% increase in conversion rate just in the first year. And like I said, I wish it was a little lower because it'd be more, you know, believable. But, you know, the power of talking specifically to each customer, it's unbelievable. You know, they feel like, you know, to a certain extent, they feel like you know who they are, you know what they're interested in, and you can put products in front of them that are way more, you know, tuned into their interests and what they're more likely to buy.
And so this was, these results you were seeing, these were from an established retailer who had a track record and you built the cart for him. And so this wasn't something that had a limited time frame. It was kind of somebody who had a substantial track record to compare to.
Yeah. So they went from about, you know, several hundred thousand dollars in sales that they had grown up to within the course of, you know, 5-7 years, somewhere along those lines. And we went in, kind of built this platform, you know, integrated a lot of these features into it. And within, you know, like I said, a year, he was well over $1 million.
So I've got to ask, you know, you built this platform, and obviously I don't have to tell you, you built it. It's a sophisticated platform. I'm sure there's a lot that goes into building something like this. And from my perspective, most entrepreneurs running six-figure stores would not be able to justify the expense of building something like this. So how did that financially make sense? Was it a partnership or how did that, because that just seems unusual to me.
You know, they were a really rich manufacturer that does really well on the retail side. And, you know, what they wanted to do was, you know, increase their sales on the e-commerce side, kind of a traditional company in the sense that, you know, there's a lot, kind of an older market and, you know, the people weren't necessarily tuned into the technology. And we said, hey, let's figure this out and let's dial this in. And we did. And it worked really great. And that's kind of where we, you know, really fleshed out our ideas and thought, hey, this is actually really cool. We should build a cart, you know, a platform from it.
Yeah. So were you a developer beforehand? Like, obviously that was the genesis of the idea and how you got started, but were you doing development work before it, or what was your background before you started, you know, Cortex Commerce independently?
Sure. So I actually have been doing e-commerce since I was 13 years old. And I was in our local paper running a little sports ball business. And my dad was one of those guys who liked to, you know, foster innovation and entrepreneurship in his kids. So, I've been doing it since I was 13. And then I fell in love with, you know, building sites and e-commerce stores. And so I went and got a degree in computer science. So yeah, I am a developer, but the passion is e-commerce. And I came back into the industry and just found myself in e-commerce jobs. And here we are today.
Very cool. The rare unicorn of a developer / e-commerce guru all wrapped into one.
And it is an interesting mix, but it's been really fun because you can build, you know, whatever you can dream.
I'd love to talk about machine learning a little bit. For people that may not know, can you give out just a real high level idea of what machine learning is? And then specifically too, how much traffic? Well, let's tackle that first one first. And then I don't overwhelm me with like four questions at once.
Sure. So machine learning is, you know, it's just the way that you can train computers to learn about things. So, you know, you've probably heard about like the IBM Watson machine that plays chess, or, you know, Siri on your phone. That originally is a machine learning program that's learned how to recognize voice, how to, you know, recognize different things within data. Google itself is basically a machine learning platform in the sense that you're giving it text and it's finding the most relevant things for that text. Does that make sense?
It does, yeah. And so it's really, if I understand it right, it's the ability for a program to be written in a dynamic way where based on how, just like almost like a human, it gets smarter with its recommendations the more data points it has. Like Netflix, for example, is the example I always think of. The more movies you watch, the more you rate, the better recommendations it's going to give you. And for machine learning, that you need a decent amount of data, don't you? So like who is, you know, what kind of retailers could be looking at this as a viable, hey, this is something, this is a technology potentially with something like Cortex Commerce I could actually apply to my business. What kind of volume of data do you need for this to be meaningfully useful?
Yeah, you know, it really works with just about anyone. We've built the system so that whether you're big or small, it will start to help you. So, you know, if you have even as little as several hundred, you know, maybe 100 hits a day, it's going to start to really kind of figure out what products are related to one another. You know, obviously, the more data it has, the more powerful it is. If you're getting several thousand orders a day, you know, in your enterprise level system, you know, it's going to learn very, very quickly what your store is about. And it's just going to be all the more powerful for you.
So will it, obviously there's a lot that can be learned from an independent, you know, an individual user. If I'm using your platform and I'm selling, let's say I'm selling watches, because I know that's an example you use on your site. And I come and I browse a bunch of the super cheap $5 watches because I'm a cheapskate. Obviously you can tell pretty quickly, okay, that's my preference, what I'm interested in, and you can customize accordingly. Can your platform also sense broader macro trends within customers to be able to say the second somebody lands on a website run by your platform, by your shopping cart, they're most likely going to be a cheapskate. They're most likely going to be interested in the high-end watches. Is that something that it can do?
Absolutely. You know, what it does, and let me rephrase that, you know, what actually happens is as soon as they hit the site, if it's the very first time they've hit the site, obviously it's not going to know much about that person because we're not digging into, you know, personal private information and stuff like that. But once they start, you know, they click on, you know, maybe one or two products, then it can tell, okay, hey, this person's probably a little more of a person who likes to shop cheaply, or this person is, you know, more interested in luxury products, or they're male or female. You can categorize those different things within the Cortex system to kind of help guide how it displays those products.
Oh, so you can apply custom tags that, let's say, the budget product line or the premium product line or male or female or different sports. You can, almost like you'd have categories, you can put tags across products for those different attributes. Very cool. And can you trigger, let's say, for example, someone who's shopping for, I'm a cheapskate, I'm shopping for the dinky $5 plastic band. So I'm going to be really price sensitive. You know, first off, you don't even want me as a customer, but assuming you did.
Hey, I'm a cheapskate too, so I get it.
Assuming you did want me as a customer, I'm probably going to be, you know, pretty sensitive to shipping and I'm not going to want to pay for that. So is it possible to, based on those tags and those criteria that you can apply, you can build up a profile of a visitor who comes. So is it possible to really direct offers to them? You know, if I'm somebody who's shopping for the cheap watches, I'm probably going to be much more price sensitive. I'm probably also going to be more sensitive on the shipping. So can you say, hey, based on the fact this guy is cheap, let's go ahead and use a lower price, one that we still make money for, but lower it down because he's price sensitive. And also let's make sure to give him a more compelling shipping offer and maybe even a discount code coupon that pops up as well. Can you customize those kind of incentives and on-site things for people based on the profile?
Absolutely. So what we can do is, you know, obviously when it comes to price, you know, you don't want to give different prices to different customers, you know, purely because, you know, that'll create a big old firestorm. But in terms of dynamic offers, yes, absolutely. You can start to say, hey, here's a banner with, you know, a promo code in the banner that has free shipping or various other discount items or, you know, discounts built within the banner. It's totally dynamic and you can absolutely do stuff like that.
That's really cool. With homepages, you know, so obviously you can customize the homepage, if I'm correct, based on the profile of the customer. You can also customize the category pages as well, as far as I understand. How does that work? Let's say, you know, when that first person does hit, because you, let's say somebody lands on your homepage and you don't know anything about them right out of the gates, but you do want to be able to show a personalized experience. Will the homepage change after you get 4 or 5 or 6 data points? So then if somebody lands, goes on the homepage, shops around a bit and comes back to the homepage, they'll see a more personalized homepage for them based on their activity?
Absolutely. It's an entirely different page that they'll get when they come back to the site. Or, and one of the cool things is that we're actually doing it real time. So, you know, let's say it's your very first time to the website. You show up on the homepage, you click on a product that's, you know, a male related product. And then, you know, you click on another category within the site. It's going to automatically start to filter the products and push the male products towards the top of the category. Same thing with, you know, if you had discount products or a combination of thereof where you had discount male products, as they browse, it's just going to get smarter and it's just going to continue to refine what they're going to see within the category. And one of the cool things is that we're doing it real time, but we're also making it sticky. So for instance, let's say you clicked on a category and then you go and you browse a bunch of other products and then you come back to that category. That category is going to be the same this particular browsing session. We don't want to, you know, mix it all up so that they can't find products that they had seen before. So it's kind of a cool mixture there.
Very cool. Are there any SEO implications at all with kind of dynamically changing category pages and home pages?
So one of the things, we get that question asked quite frequently, and it's something that we're really monitoring closely. But at this point, we haven't seen any negative effects, and we also feel like it might actually be an advantage, purely because, as you know, when you change your site, Google tends to crawl it more frequently. So we're still in that stage of, hey, we think this is actually an advantage, but again, we're monitoring it very, very closely and we have not seen any ill effects or problems so far.
I see. Interesting. What about implicit association. So for example, obviously somebody lands on your page the first time, it's hard to know if, you know, maybe they're super price sensitive or they're, you know, they're a high roller and they, you know, spend all their money frivolously. And so you can charge them whatever you want. But do you make any assumptions about, let's say somebody's running IE6. Okay. Right. You know, we're talking like an old PC from like 2002. Right. And sure. So chances are, you know, they're not very tech savvy. Let's say, you know, obviously from an IP address, which you can see from all your visitors, you can figure out their location. There's a number of things you can infer about somebody. It may not be true, but at least you can infer about them based on some of that metadata. Do you use any of that at all when you're looking to build a profile of a visitor?
Yeah, absolutely. We, you know, and it's one of those things that we push that data out pretty quick because they browse and we can get a much, much better picture of who they are. But we're using literally everything that we can think of to try and give them, you know, some sort of a personalized experience from the very beginning. And so we're looking at all of those touch points. We're trying to get their location. We're trying to figure out what their browser they're using. We're, you know, all of these things.
So you're saying that for me, if I had a visitor who came from Florida who had IE6, potentially with somebody who's a little bit older. And again, this is not the stereotype, but you know, potentially probably probability is higher that they're lower. Then you're saying I could use that information and initially make maybe the RV section of my homepage for radios a little more prominent based on that information.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things that, you know, as soon as it detects that you're from Florida, it's going to start to, you know, probably give you stuff that's more summer oriented. If it detects that you're from Alaska, it's going to start to throw you coats. If, you know, if you're a fashion store, that sort of a thing. You know, obviously, it's really, really hard to detect the age of the person. And, you know, we don't want to make too many assumptions, but we're trying to use everything we can to dial in that experience right away.
And will the machine learning learn along the same lines? Will the machine learning in this cart go back through the sales database and say, okay, of visitors who have landed that had this type of meta criteria, 40% of them buy these type of products. Therefore, let's customize it that way. Is that something that the software is smart enough to do? Or is that still something where you still really need to set up those criteria ahead of time, like kind of manually from an individual human perspective?
Yeah. So we have a set of criteria that they set up within the system. And then again, the system's going to analyze that data, and then it's going to place them into, you know, some of those predefined categories that you can build within the system. And then also on our, you know, intelligence advice, it'll start to segment out and find different clusters of groups that say, hey, these people are more likely to buy this particular product in the winter. Here they are. And again, it's looking at stuff like that. It's looking at meta information. It's looking at location. It's looking at past sales history. It's, you know, it's trying to find these people who are really, really ripe in terms of purchase to intent for certain products. And that's actually something that we're working on right now.
Oh, so cool. It's something that it's one of those things where I feel like it's going to be commonplace in 5-6 years. A lot of the big carts are going to be doing it, but it's, if you can do it now, it's such a huge advantage. Why not? And kind of an aside question here, you know, building out a shopping cart is not a trivial task. I mean, there's building out just a basic shopping cart, right? One without even aside from all the machine learning, the customization, the personalization, it's a big task. So why tackle both the cart side and the machine learning side? Did you think about really creating potentially just a very robust add-on or integration for, you know, Magento or Shopify or BigCommerce as opposed to doing this from scratch?
So Andrew, we actually, it's funny you asked that. We actually preferred to do that. We wanted to build a plugin. We wanted to create a system where we could just offer it to anybody. But the problem was, is that you could only give about 60% of the power that we wanted to give people through creating a plugin. So we knew we had to build our own platform. It was really no option. And let me give you a quick example of kind of why we needed to do it. So for instance, let's say, you know, we have an email system built into Cortex. And one of the things that a lot of these other carts do is they don't have a built-in email system. The powerful thing that you can do with an email system is you can send personalized and contextualized offers to people in real time. So let me give you an example. Let's say a customer comes on the site and they buy a certain brand of purple earrings. Well, our system can automatically send them a free shipping coupon that expires within 3 hours if they purchase the matching necklace to those earrings. Now, what you have there is you have a personalized email in the sense that it's giving the customer an offer specific to them, and it's contextualized. So it's giving them an offer based on what they just bought in that real-time moment. And it's giving them a dynamic promo code that'll expire in 3 hours if they purchase this. Now, what's really hard with that in other systems is, hey, you don't have an integrated email system. And that email system doesn't know anything about what that person purchased or, you know, what they're potentially purchase in the future. And it also can't sit and talk to the shopping cart to create a dynamic promo code. So those are the type of things that are really powerful within, you know, the personalization and marketing automation that you just can't duplicate with another cart.
I'd love to talk about price optimization, because this is something I've thought through a lot, and it's tough to do manually. I mean, if you've got a store with maybe one SKU or maybe two or three SKUs, it's not too difficult to run different price levels at, you know, over, you know, a month here, a month there, and see which one results in the highest net profit. When you start thinking about offering free shipping, the cost that brings in, raising prices to help offset those shipping fees, and then also you spread that across a multi-hundred or a multi-thousand SKU store, that experiment gets a lot more confusing in terms of optimizing your price. And again, you're playing with, obviously, you raise your prices, your volume is almost always going to drop, but your profit per order goes up and vice versa. You lower your prices, your profit decreases, but you might be able to make that up on volume. So is that something that Cortex Commerce does by default? Just talk about your price and your profit optimization built into the cart. I'd love to hear about that.
Yeah, so you know, a lot of people, they have prices on their website, $3.99, $4.99. Well, you know, one of the things that's really powerful, if you go to like Amazon, they have weird prices, $3.73. $2.42. I mean, who's ever heard of a price like that, you know? And what they're doing is they're using machine learning to optimize the price for the highest profitability point based upon, you know, how many people are purchasing. You know, they can figure out whether this is a volume-based product, whether they should sell, you know, at a lower price and get higher volume, or if they should increase the price and just sell a little less of those things. And that's, you know, that's essentially what Cortex is trying to do. And what it does is it actually requires the owner of the store to approve every price. So it'll recommend, hey, here's a price that you should run for this particular product. And then you hit approve and it runs that experiment, I should say. And then it'll either keep that price or it'll revert it back to either the same price or a new price. But it's using these machine learning algorithms to try and find that optimal, you know, rate. And, you know, if there's certain things like a sudden drop in sales or profitability, Cortex will, you know, has safety gaps built in or safety measures to, you know, stop that and revert the price back immediately.
How do you, and you touched on this earlier, but how do you do that without getting customers upset? You mentioned you're not showing different prices to different customers. You're just running a price experiment at one fixed level for a certain amount of time. Is that right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so, you know, you don't want to show different prices to different customers, as you know. And, you know, and it's funny because sometimes we've noticed that, you know, I'm sure you've shopped on Amazon before where the price, you know, it'll sit there and it'll be $3.72. And then the next week it's like $4.63. The funny thing is that sometimes we're seeing customers, it's almost creating some urgency within customers to buy it before it goes up again. You know, that's still, you know, to be determined how effective that is. But, you know, those are just kind of the funny little things that we notice on the side with our pricing optimization.
What about recommendations? One thing we've been talking about in the private forum recently is analytics. I think the next stage of analytics is really going to be less about here's the data, interpret it, and more about, hey, we've analyzed all the data. Here's the actual insights that you should take on your store. And I know that's something that that you're trying to implement with Cortex. So can you talk about like the specific, you know, I guess how that analytics engine and recommendation engine in terms of things to change in the store flows through the software?
Yeah. So, you know, it's one of those things, like everybody is all about seeing the data, which is absolutely crucial. You have to know what the data is to really figure out what works and what doesn't. But we're trying to take it a step further. And I totally believe this is the future. In fact, I'm 99% sure of it, but we're actually taking that data. We're not only showing it to the customer, but we're also then we're figuring out ways to make sense of it for them. So for instance, you know, we can detect which products should go on sale, you know, what amount of inventory you should order, you know, types of different, which pages you should be running different A/B tests on, or, you know, if there's a product that's having a problem, it can detect that and let you know that, hey, you need to fix this. You know, and like I said before, there's some advanced stuff where it's getting really granular in terms of, hey, Cortex will go out and it'll identify a certain group of people who are really, you know, ready, primed to purchase a certain product. And it'll, you know, with the click of a button, you can say, you know, email these people, you know, this offer, you know, just really cool things like that, where you're just trying to, you know, basically do really advanced data mining and make insights out of data.
And so it does have, the platform has A/B split testing built in. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Okay. And what kind of, in terms of the technology and the hosting, it's, I'm guessing this is a, an, it, it, I'm guessing this is a self-hosted solution. It's not a hosted solution, right?
So we actually work with all of our customers to help them, you know, however they need. So we'll do SaaS, we'll do self-hosted, we'll do dedicated servers, we'll do cloud servers. You know, we're really customized in the sense that we want to work with the customer to really help them, you know, get the, what they need.
Ah, okay. So very cool. So I guess one of the, if I was thinking about coming to this cart from somewhere else, obviously you're a little bit newer onto the scene. And so probably not as established, as many established, you know, designers or developers, people who are familiar with the cart. And so you kind of offer, you're not just putting it out there and saying, hey, here you go, figure it out. You actually have a pretty integrated system in terms of helping people get on board and make changes. And do you do ongoing work as well to help people customize carts?
You know, absolutely. You know, we really want to work with the customer to help them with their e-commerce. We're not one of the little plug and play systems. We build your site custom. It is, you know, it is a single instance. You know, you can have buy the source code from us. We hide, you know, a lot of our particular proprietary algorithms in that, but we just want to work with the client to really dial it in however they want to do it.
Very cool. And what does pricing look like on this in terms of just a rough ballpark for getting started? Is that something you can give a sense? If somebody's thinking, hey, this be interesting, what roughly are they looking at for a store? And maybe it varies based on different sales levels. But let's say someone who's doing, you know, mid six figures in terms of their store.
Yeah, absolutely. We start at around $499 a month. We do a per monthly licensing fee. We can do a one-time fee. Again, we really work with each particular customer to make it happen for them.
Got it. Great. Well, Josh, it's such a cool, cool company. CortexCommerce.com. That's where you can find out more about the machine learning cart that we've been talking about. And Josh, anywhere else that people can get a hold of you or learn about what you're up to outside of Cortex?
Yeah, you know, you can email me, josh@cortexcommerce.com. You know, if you're really interested in, checking out our software, go to the website. And we actually have a new website analyzer right now that we built, and we used a lot of Cortex's stuff. And what this does is this will actually analyze your website, your e-commerce website right now. So you can actually go out to our site, you know, plug in your website, plug in your email, and we'll email you a report based upon what Cortex has kind of figured out about your website.
Josh, well, thanks so much. Looking forward to getting to know you further in the forums in the future, and best of luck going forward with Cortex. I'm sure it's going to do well.
Hey, thanks, Andrew. I really appreciate you having me on the show. And like I said, anytime, I would love to come on and talk to, you know, about e-commerce.
Awesome. Well, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Hey, thank you, sir. Have a good one.
That's going to do it for this week. But if you're interested in launching your own e-commerce store, download my free 55-page ebook on niche selection and getting started. And if you're a bit more experienced, look into the E-Commerce Fuel private forum. It's a vetted community for store owners with at least 4,000 in monthly sales or industry professionals with at least a year or more experience in the e-commerce space. You can learn more about both the ebook and the forum at ecommercefuel.com. Thanks so much for listening, and I'm looking forward to seeing you again next Friday.